Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews, and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
Welcome again to another excellent episode of Zed Games, Australia's most beloved gaming radio program. I am Lee, and joining me in the studio, it's the internet's Alana.
The internet owns me?
No, you're of the internet.
Am I? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Hi.
Yes. Representing the printed page, Mr. Jody McGregor.
Hi. That means I'm old, right?
Yes. And yeah. Also, you have things that are on the printed page.
Yeah, get off my lawn.
Yeah.
So where am I from, Lee?
Why, you're Radio's own Razor.
Oh.
Razor McGee.
Yeah. Razor McGee. That's yes. Me. Pleasure to be here.
Yes. What are we going to be talking about?
Well, this episode of Zed Games surely will be the best episode of Zed Games ever produced, and I will stake my reputation on that.
Whoa.
Yes.
That's heavy.
Yeah. It is. That won't take long.
The next generation is upon us, so Alana has been playing her Xbox One.
I have, and more than anything, yelling at it, because it's the best thing ever.
So we'll have the opportunity to interrogate her about all things Xbox One later in the show.
There will be waterboarding.
There will.
Yes.
And I'll be talking about the PS4, which was released last week.
Last Friday.
Yeah.
Also, Jody's got a review of the PC game Shelter. About little furry things, right?
Yeah, you're a badger. It's about badgers.
You're listening to Zed Games. Now, the next generation of gaming is here. The living room is now the home of the future.
It was the strangest sentence ever.
Yep.
The living room is the home of the future.
Yes. So, Alana, you have a Xbox One in your possession, if I'm not mistaken.
I do have an Xbox One. Probably what I'm using the most is the voice controls, which I'm using all the time. I didn't think I would. I was worried it'd be gimmicky. I was worried it wouldn't pick up Australian accents very well. And I was sort of worried that you'd have to repeat yourself a lot, or, you know, you'd get confused, but it doesn't at all. Like, not one thing has ever screwed up anything I've said.
Wow.
And I can control the entire system with my voice, and it's amazing.
Ah.
Sometimes I do, even when I don't care. I'll just be like, hey, Xbox, go home. Xbox, go to friends. You can do everything with your voice. And if you can't do something with your voice, you can do it with Kinect by using your hand. And it seems like it would be so much easier to use the controller, but I just don't want to ever, because it's so cool. One of my favorite things is with the TV system that they really marketed a lot is if you, instead of plugging your set-top box into the back of the Xbox One, you can plug your 360 into it. So you say Xbox, go to TV, it'll go to your 360 full screen, and then Xbox, go home, goes back to the Xbox One. So I've been using the 360 on my Xbox One while I've been installing games. So that's probably one of the greatest features ever.
Yeah. Is there any latency with that?
Like, I haven't even noticed it, if it exists. I tested it out because I did see people saying that they'd had that problem, so I tried it to see if I could, like, find a game that would have any kind of lag, and I've got nothing. Like, it seems like there's absolutely nothing, but yeah, other people have said that they've been affected by that.
Yep.
Where, and a review on IGN said that it was completely unusable, but that was before the day one update. Mm. So I don't know if that fixed that, but it's pretty much perfect for me. Yeah, I use it all the time, and it doesn't slow down the Xbox One installing games or anything, which is probably the biggest flaw. It takes ages to install games.
Yep.
Sometimes they get stuck on 1%, and it'll take about an hour before they start moving again.
Oh, really? That long?
Yeah.
That seems like a long time.
For me to install Rise took about 2 hours, I think.
How big are the files? Are they like 30 gig? Is that a Battlefield 4?
Not 30 gig, but I think Rise was 7 gig, which, for the amount of time it took, it shouldn't have.
Yeah.
You know, it shouldn't have taken that long. But I assume that that's a bug that they're planning to fix or something like that, because I know not all people are having these problems. Mm. So it might be just me, but it does suck really badly, even though I only have like 2 games. So it's not the biggest issue in the universe at this point, especially when you can swap to 360, so you don't have nothing to play while you're waiting for it to install. But going from a 360, you know, instead of a PS3 where you have to install things, it's like seems like a massive wait, because you're used to having nothing and it just being instant, and I feel like that kind of sucks.
Mm.
Yeah, apparently they are planning to fix that.
Right. Well, have they also integrated the thing where, you know, there is an install, but you get to play after a certain length of time?
Yeah, I don't know what the length of time is because I haven't tried it, because usually when I swap to 360, I just end up wanting to play the 360.
Oh, okay.
I think it's 30% where you can start playing. So right. I feel like that's fairly reasonable.
Yeah, that seems like a really cool feature, and I wish everything did that.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the really cool things is when it is already installed, if you want to turn the console off, you just turn it off and you don't need to save or get to a checkpoint, and the game will automatically start up from where you left off.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's the coolest thing.
Yeah, because I don't know, that seems like it's something we should have just had standard all the time, but especially with Rise, which is quite a repetitive game. It's really, really fun. I actually really like it because it's pretty, but it is really repetitive, and having to do the same thing over and over again when the entire game by itself is repetitive, if you actually had to do the same instance, I'd pretty much want to kill myself.
Yeah.
So I've never had to. I think I've died once in the game, and even then it just takes you before that fight, not back to a checkpoint. And that's, it's awesome just having it like so quickly just start up. And everything looks amazing. I think Rise is probably the prettiest game I've ever seen. I said that about Crysis 3. I remember when I played that, I thought that was amazing, but Rise is just phenomenal.
Well, it is the same engine.
It is, yeah. But I don't know, it just looks so much better than that even. Mm. Yeah, the environments particularly, especially because it's Roman. There's like these massive buildings, but they've all, you know, still got noticeable flaws. And I think that's what makes it look real, is that there's cracks and, you know, things are decaying. And it's crazy pretty.
So tell us a little more about the games then. This is what people are after. What games have you got? You've got Rise.
I have Rise, Zoo Tycoon, and Call of Duty Ghosts.
Ah. Tell us about Zoo Tycoon.
Yeah. The best game in the world. I would actually really like to do a review. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It has co-op, and everything works with co-op, so you can have like one person managing the zoo and one person managing the animals.
Yeah.
Best ever. It's like, honestly, it's probably one of the most fun games I've ever played.
You can interact with the animals with the Kinect, right?
Yeah.
Ah, tell
brilliant.
Us more.
Brilliant. No, I will review it next week, actually.
Good.
Because that game is just so stellar that I feel like it needs a long talk.
I have heard, I just want to verify this, the animals respond to your, like, your facial,
you know, if it's you,
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I've had some problems with Kinect not recognizing that it's me when I'm in a room.
Does it not notice your bright purple hair?
I'm not sure if it notices colours. I think it looks for facial structure.
Ah.
But since I moved the Kinect from one room to the other, it doesn't sign me in anymore, because usually when you'd walk into the room, it'd be like, hi, Alana.
Yeah.
I talk to it all the time and be like, oh, hey, Xbox.
Yeah.
Stop listening. What's up?
And now it's like, who are you? Yeah. What have you done with Alana?
But you can still go Xbox, sign in, and then it just like puts the profiles up and you go, choose this profile, and done. You just say things.
Yeah.
Downside, had a party on the weekend and there were drunk people around, and I'm not yet sure how to make Kinect stop listening without unplugging it.
Uh-huh.
And people were like, Xbox, go home! While I was playing Rise in this cutscene. So that is something that's incredibly annoying. If someone else says something while you're trying to do something, the screen's just like, whoa, and it just changes constantly. It's very easy to just say, go back, though.
Yep.
So, like, I mean, I've never said anything incorrectly, but I have had other people come in and say things that I didn't want them to say while I was doing something, which doesn't really matter because, like I said, you can just say go back and everything pauses when you stop on one app and you go to another one. But, it's still frustrating that it just listens to everyone and there's no easy Kinect stop listening option.
There's no, like, Kinect uninstall this game or anything.
No, not quite. That'd be nice, though.
So what do you say to turn it off?
I don't have mine set up so that I can turn it off, but you can say Xbox turn off, and then it says, are you sure? And you just say yes.
Oh, there's a little prop there. I was hoping that someone was using it right now, listening to the radio, and you could just turn the Xbox off.
For me, I don't know, like, the voice recognition on my phone works flawlessly, but I still don't find myself using it. Do you think that this is, like, the way of the future, or is it a gimmick?
I use it constantly. Yeah, see, it seems like a gimmick, but, like, I thought before I got the console, I was like, I'm probably never going to use it. It's probably not going to really influence me. But because it's so quick, it just changes everything as soon as you want. If you want to look at anything, you just say it and it does it. And it's like you're just sitting on your couch in your living room just saying, like, Xbox, go home, done. Xbox, go to TV, done. Like, it's just so much more convenient. But, I am really happy with the console. The controller feels a little bit different. Things feel... The bumpers are higher, and I think the D-pad is so much better. It's more like a set of buttons.
Yeah, no, it really is a great D-pad.
It's so much better. And the actual toggles feel a little bit closer together, which I think just feels different. I'm not sure if it's better or worse. It's just different. And some games do have voice commands as well. Yeah. Like in Rise, it's like, fire the cannon! And you just say it and it does it.
Yeah. That's pretty great. Now, Alana, you said some pretty kind things about the Xbox One. Is this a big, expensive box that you could recommend to people even this early into the piece?
Yes.
Ooh.
I mean, for the graphical improvements, for the speed of the games, the frame rate is actually noticeably better, and the fact that it is so functional. I think more people use hard drives to play things than they would like to admit. Yep. Like, you know, when it came out and everyone was like, entertainment system, I don't care about that, but I use it so much to, you know, play all my video files and keep updated with all the latest TV shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think it is definitely a good investment. But you did mention big, and I should say it is massive.
Yeah.
The thing is huge. Okay. Like, I don't know, probably about 10 centimeters wider than my Slim. Mm-hmm. And it constantly makes a noise. So I have it in my bedroom. If I want to sleep, I have to unplug it because it buzzes.
Oh, really?
Constantly.
What kind of buzz?
Like a, hey, I'm this really large thing kind of buzz. It's like a kind of noise. You happy now?
Yeah, that's what I was after, actually.
But yeah, it's huge and quite heavy, but excellent.
Okay.
Have you had a chance to play Call of Duty Ghosts yet?
I've installed it with intent to play it, but I haven't yet. So, I pulled up the main menu once, and then it was like, yeah, but I'd prefer to play Saints Row, so I'm still playing Saints Row, but I do intend to play it at some point. But you have a PS4, Razor. Have you played Call of Duty?
No, I haven't.
Shame.
Yeah. I've heard Call of Duty is actually, like, the highest-selling game, like, on the next-gen consoles right now.
You surprised,
though?
Wow.
Not really.
Yeah.
What have you been playing?
I've been playing, actually, a lot of Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to play that on PS3?
Yeah. So it was really interesting to make that direct comparison. So I was about 15 hours in, and I told myself I'd wait until I'd get the PS4 before I continued.
Mm.
Unfortunately, there was no way to sort of transfer my progress over, or at least none that I could find, so I had to start again. But that was okay. The first thing I noticed when directly comparing the two games is... firstly, the frame rate. Everything is just so smooth.
Mm.
Assassin's Creed, there's a lot of panning, camera panning, you know, when you jump on the tops of the buildings and you synchronize and the whole thing shifts around. When you do that, you just notice that everything is silky smooth. And
I think I do remember that being a little bit jarring previously, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember playing the first, Assassin's Creed 2 on the PS3, and then during those synchronized sections, it would just be this god-awful shuddering and screen tearing, and it was like the Matrix trying to, you know, vomit or something. Not so here. It's super smooth. And then, you know, the graphics and textures, just the water and the trees and the wildlife especially, are just that much better.
Noticeably better.
Yeah. The rain effects, are like the droplets on the ship,
The rain is amazing.
Yeah, although I did notice it's sort of current gen roots, you know, with the facial features. Not the textures, but the shapes of the objects are a bit jagged.
And you were saying that you weren't able to transfer your saves over. Now, I knew that was something that wouldn't be able to happen. But what happens with trophies?
Trophies, you have two sets
They're
of trophies.
Separate.
It treats as two different games.
I think that people are probably going to like that a lot for trophy or achievement hunters. They could play the same really short game twice
then
get twice the achievement.
But on the topic of trophies, they've introduced trophy rarity, which is cool. So when you get a trophy, it comes up, and then you look at your trophy list, and you can see what percentage of people who own that game have attained trophy. And that's pretty cool because it also applies to all the games that you've currently already played.
Tell us about the console itself.
The first thing I noticed when I lugged it out of the store was, in contrast to what you said about the Xbox One, Alana, was that it was really small. Like, it was... the box that it came in was just surprisingly small and way smaller than the box that my laptop computer came in.
I believe the power brick is actually inside the PS4 console.
That's right,
it's crazy.
Yeah. And it looks actually quite nice. It looks kind of space alien cool, and there's not many features on it. There's not many markings except for this glowing line that runs up it.
Tell us about the user interface. How does this thing operate?
The interface.
I did find the PS3 a bit tricky myself.
Yeah, well, as you would remember, the PS3 was just an absolute mess of a interface with like left and right, up and down.
Yeah.
Everything's got like 18 different subsections and menus. Thankfully, it has been extraordinarily streamlined. Like they just got rid of all the crap. There's like one bar and none of these sort of like vertical sub menus. So you've got like one bar of like 8 icons, which includes your store, your friends, your settings, and stuff like that. And then there's another page. So there's basically two pages, and then the second page has all your games on it and all your apps.
Yeah, it's cool.
So it's pretty easy to navigate.
They have really streamlined this thing then. This is just a games machine.
Yeah. On the flip side, like, there's not really many cool things to do apart from play games. Like, Alana's having a lot of fun playing with her Xbox One with the voice commands and all these different cool things, but there's none of that really with the PS4. It is like a bare bones gaming system right now.
Well, I know you can get the Eye. I'm not sure if that's what it's called, the PS4 camera.
Yeah,
it has a name for it. And if you actually add that to the price of the PS4, they pretty much equal out with the Xbox One. So
that's
if you were to buy one, it wouldn't be like ripping you off. And I think that they do. It does have a lot of similar functionalities, but I'm not quite sure.
It doesn't seem to be as precise or as complex as the.
But still quite Kinect. Cool.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't actually buy one, but I have seen some people using it via the streaming that's on there, and it looks like it's a lot of fun. Mm. Now another thing is the sharing functionality. So you can just jump into a big list of people who are uploading their gameplay footage like at that moment, because there's this game called Playroom, which is where you turn the camera on and there's like little robots that dance around you. It's like an augmented reality thing.
Yeah.
So that's the best way for these exhibitionists to broadcast.
Oh god,
exhibitionists.
So there's one. I think it's called like Optimus Prime's channel, and it's a
Optimus
guy.
Optimus X Prime.
Oh, you know that guy?
Yep.
Yeah, I saw. I just stumbled upon it, and it's this guy wearing an Optimus Prime mask with like a voice modulator, singing songs from random songs, playing around, doing little dances. His friend's got like 18 pairs of sunglasses on. He thinks that's funny. Wafts of smoke being blown into the frame from an unseen stoner. and that was really funny.
The thing that gets me about the Playroom is that anyone can upload whatever the hell they want. So the internet is, like, scary now.
Yeah.
On Twitch, there was a guy who undressed his wife when she was passed out on the couch via the Playroom.
Yeah.
And she was just naked there for, like, 2 hours before Sony decided to pull it down. You're like, and the title of his Twitch stream had nothing to do with nudity or anything. So it's kind of this massive thing that nobody sort of expected has sort of destroyed Twitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does suck.
Mm.
I don't understand how they didn't think that, you know, giving people the instant ability to transmit video across the internet wouldn't immediately lead to...
Yeah, I mean, we didn't bring it up, though.
Yeah.
We're all like, oh, you can stream straight to Twitch. But none of us were like, now, people are definitely going to get naked.
There's going to be
a
way
they were.
Day one. Yeah. Yes.
All right, we'll take a quick break now. When we return, we'll talk more about the PS4.
Hello and welcome back to Zed Games. We have been talking about the PS4 because Ray has one, the big show-off. What have you been playing on your PS4?
Just before I get into the games, if you don't mind, if it pleases everyone, I'd just like to quickly talk about the controller, which is really good. In retrospect, now the DualShock 3 is a POS, man. You know, it feels so crap in your hand in comparison to the PS4.
And the goddamn charging cord is tiny.
Yeah, it is a bit short. That is one complaint.
Actually.
It's the biggest refinement we've seen for the PS controller, and overall, it's really good. I like the indents on the analog sticks. The touchpad in the middle is pretty cool. It actually clicks in, and it clicks in from any point where you touch it, which is nice, so you don't have to like put your finger in the center of it to touch it.
What does it do?
Well, it's like on your, if you've got a laptop computer and you've got like one of those trackpads, it works in pretty
like
much the same way. Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
So unfortunately, it doesn't work with the internet browser, though.
What?
Yet, which is like the primary use that I'd imagine that, you know,
that's immediately what I assumed.
Yeah, so when they get that sorted out, it's going to be great, but yeah, for now, that doesn't work. By far, my favorite thing about this controller is the fact that it's got a headphone jack in the bottom of it,
yeah, that's awesome.
Which takes 3.5mm headphones. So you can just plug your favorite.
Can that be like your iPhone headphones?
Any headphones at all.
That's awesome.
My favorite headphones, which I'm incidentally wearing right now, just plug straight in. And that's really great because you can choose whether you just want the chat audio to go through or the whole game audio.
Oh,
and
that's
good if you've got housemates and, you know, you want to be mindful of whatever they're doing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Now the games. The games I have, the only game I brought with the console was Killzone Shadowfall, which I'm a couple of hours into the campaign, and I'm not really one for military-style FPS single-player campaigns. I have been playing a bit of the multiplayer, and it is pretty fun. There's a 12 versus 12 deathmatch mode, team deathmatch, and there's three classes: a support, a scout, which is a sniper, and an assault class. And I'm having fun as the support because you can make a spawn point you can heal people from afar. So I've been helping people from a distance by healing them.
When That's Ray, nice of you.
Yeah, when Ray said that he'd been playing as a medic, I was a bit surprised.
Yep.
Because Ray is a terrible human being who only wishes to, you know, bring about despair and trouble onto others.
Yep. This is my way of giving back, Lee.
Okay.
Yeah. Killzone, I'll probably get into it more at a later date, but it's pretty by-the-numbers FPS and a very good showcase of the capabilities of the PS4's graphics. Resogun, which came for free as part of a PSN Plus thing, and that's actually the best game that I've got for the PS4. It's just like a side-scrolling spaceship shooty shooty bang bang kind of defender style thing.
Yeah,
except it's like in a big cylinder and it's 3D and the particles are just amazing. So I got that game and another indie game called Contrast for free with the PS Plus. You can also get DC Universe Online, which you can download for free. There's also another free to play game that I've yet to download called Warframe, which actually looks pretty good. So I was really pleasantly surprised by the fact that even though I only bought one game, I had like four or five to play.
So it seems like everyone here is happy with their shiny new toys.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty happy. Yeah, it is a bit bare bones right now. Like, there's not much fun to be had besides playing games. As I
have expressed concern before that the PS4 is just an updated PS3. Would you say that now that you have one?
That's basically what it is. I won't lie. But you know what? I can see the potential of the machine for sure.
If the interface is better and when more games come out, I will definitely get one. If that interface is better, that's a big part for me.
Yeah, the thing is, I didn't really want a reinvented console. I was after a updated PS3 and I've got one. So, you know, I'm happy. One other thing before I stop talking about it is the remote play. I'm a PS Vita owner.
Oh, yes, you are.
And the PS4 lets me have some added value by the fact that I can use it as a screen to play on. And one of the first things I did when I got the PS4 was try it out, and it works as advertised.
Does it work like the gamepad for the Wii U?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So it even uses the touchpad on the PS4 controller. That transfers over really well, as you'd imagine. And actually, with Assassin's Creed 4, you can pinch to
that's nice.
That's cool.
Zoom in and out of the map, which is really cool.
So is there any lag that you're getting through that?
Not any noticeable lag. And actually, I can use it as a controller and look at the big screen, and there's no noticeable lag.
Wow.
Yeah, so it really works as advertised, and it's really awesome.
That is very cool.
Somewhat relatedly, there's a new app for the Xbox One Smart Glass. So Smart Glass for the 360 was great. The Xbox One Smart Glass basically does absolutely nothing unless you're connected and playing the console.
Yeah.
It's really disappointing.
Oh,
I just thought I'd share that. It's free, so it's not too bad, but it does next to nothing. You can't edit your avatar. You can't send messages like you used to be able to. It's just...
Why didn't they just make the old
small
one?
Small accessory. Right?
Yeah, okay.
Right, because the old one is amazing, so I'm still just using the old one instead of using the new one.
Ugh.
Yeah, it sucks.
And just one final point on the PS4. I put Killzone in. Like, okay, I'll tell you what happened when I got home. after I
tell
like,
me everything that happened.
What did
when you
eat?
Got home.
Yeah, I think I had nachos or something like that.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was okay.
How was your cheese to nacho ratio?
Yeah. Oh, it's got to be high.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
What
yeah.
what level of spiciness that. For the salsa?
Oh, it's got to be hot.
Yeah,
yeah.
Do you have sour cream?
Who doesn't have sour cream?
Do you add guac?
Guac, yeah, yes. It's all about okay. the guac, baby.
Well, now I'm just hungry.
Yeah,
so.
Damn it.
Okay. So after I had nachos and fell asleep on the couch and then wiped all the nachos.
What did you
juice,
dream about?
Yeah, look, that's a bit personally. It's not related to nachos. It's not related.
It was me again.
It wasn't related to nachos and it wasn't related to PS4. Let me just leave it at that.
It was late.
So what happened after I cleared all the nacho juice off my singlet? Whatever.
It wasn't nacho juice. Moving on.
Oh. I downloaded like the 300 megabyte sort of day one patch, and that didn't take long, and it updated. And then I put Killzone in, and I was up and playing in 5 minutes.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, like I was up and playing the single player mode. The multiplayer mode was not available at the start. But then, like, as I was playing, little pop-ups kept coming up saying, oh, this is installed. But it was all happening behind the scenes. So it just worked as though, like, I'd put in a PS3 game in my PS3 and I was playing it off the disc. So.
Hey, that never happens when I put in my PS3 game.
Yeah, it
the
takes
first
me
time.
Way less than 5 minutes.
It says, please install this game.
And then wait for this update. Wait for this other update.
It was actually faster than that then because there wasn't, like, a huge 1.2 gig patch I had to download, at least none that I was aware of. Yeah. So, yeah, awesome. My PS4 experience so far has been really smooth, and I'm excited about the future.
Infamous.
For the first time ever.
Infamous.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I'm looking
infamous.
Forward to Infamous.
That game looks great.
That is a
and Uncharted 4, I believe, was announced.
Yes.
Yep.
Excellent.
Mm. Very cool.
But no Crash Bandicoot.
Yet.
Huh. Yeah.
Yet.
I guess Naughty Dog are working on
well,
Uncharted
you guys can
4.
Have Crash Bandicoot when I get my Banjo 3.
There was a Banjo 3.
Yeah, well, no, there wasn't. Not in my heart.
It was nuts and bolts.
It was terrible.
You could build a car.
It was rubbish.
It was great.
Oh.
We'll take this outside.
Jody, you have been playing a PC game called Shelter, in which you control a mother badger who has to look after her little baby badgers.
Yeah, that's the long and short of it. It's an indie game about survival. You lead your five baby badgers out of the cave and in search of a new cave. You have to keep them fed. You have to keep them safe from predators. And you have to look after them. And it does really make you care about these cute, furry little mammals who follow you around everywhere. You have to keep them fed, and if you don't feed them, they sort of sicken and slowly turn gray.
Oh, no.
That's how you know they need to be fed. So you have to uproot, like, tubers out of the ground and feed them. You can get apples, which you can knock out of trees by barreling into them and headbutting the tree so the apples fall down. That's what I'm best at.
Right.
There are also, like, little animals you can kill, like frogs, and then feed to your to your brood of children.
Cool. That's awesome.
Badgers are not at the top of the food chain. Are there predators as well?
Yes, there are a lot of predators.
Right.
The birds are the worst because
birds are the worst.
These birds of prey fly overhead and you have to lead your children from like one patch of long grass or shrubbery to the next while these shadows just silently swoop past. And it's really kind of scary. It's really tense. You have to sort of wait until exactly the right moment and then run and just hope that all of your children are smart enough to make it across the gap behind you in time and not get swooped on and eaten.
Oh, no.
And your children will probably get eaten at some point.
Oh, God.
Over the course of the game, you're going to lose some of your kids. And it's really heartbreaking when that happens. You're running along and you see them behind you. And I found myself, even during the parts where I thought I was safe, looking over my shoulder to check on all the time. And then I was like, 1, 2, 3, 4. Where's the stripy one? Oh, no, he was behind the other one. And all the time. I was just constantly. It's like It's like being your mother and like, where were you? I couldn't see you for 5 seconds. You wandered away, you were out of my sight, and now I'm mad.
You're a helicopter parent.
Yeah, I was a total, only a really, really bad one.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit intense?
It's very intense. There are parts where you're just sort of meandering along, maybe looking for some food, and everything's fine. But then there are other parts, like there's a storm, and you have to lead your children across a river while the water is flowing, and you have to sort of lead them across in between waves. And that's the moments when it gets really, really tense. And of course, whenever there's a predator around, or when it switches to nighttime, and you sort of have to keep them close to you in this little circle of light that represents your attention. And if they go outside of that, then wolves or something.
Oh, God.
You just hear noises. And I saw a frog and I wanted to catch the frog to feed to one of my children. And so I ran after the frog. And then when I turned around, there were only four children left. And that was...
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
And that was that.
Oh, which one was it?
It was Stripey.
Oh, not Stripey. You told me about him earlier and now I'm already relating to him.
Yeah.
So when the baby badgers die, they turn into little grey, lifeless...
No, that's what happens when they're sick.
Oh.
When they die, they're just gone. Just an absence. And where there were five little gambling furry things behind you, now there's four, three...
Can you get them back?
Two. No.
Okay.
You can't get them back.
So they're just gone.
They're gone forever. And the game's quite linear. You're sort of following a path through all of these sequences, through the storm, through the night. There's a fire. I kind of expected it to be more about just exploring and going wherever you want, but it is a pretty linear path. You can maybe go left or right at certain points, but you always come back to the same point.
So it's really supposed to be intense. That's sort of what carries the game?
Yeah, it's... the same things are going to happen every time you play the game in the same order, and you might deal with those situations better, but it's always like these scripted events happening. So you and I might play it, and we might be better or worse at being a mother, but we're going to go through the exact same sequence of events.
So you were expecting more of a kind of open-world mother badger simulator
thing.
Seems
like that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, well, in survival... oriented games,
yeah,
they do tend to be open. You don't don't starve or something like that.
Yeah.
The openness is part of the appeal. You just want to see how long can I survive. Whereas this is more about following a path and how well can I follow that path.
So then as a scripted, linear narrative, how does that work? Do you think that have they made the right choice by following that path, or do you think that they actually should have just made it more simulation like?
I think it would have been more interesting as something simulation-like and a little less frustrating because there are moments where things happened and I didn't know if that happened because of something I'd done or if it was just scripted as that's what's supposed to happen.
Right.
And sometimes I would lose one of my children and think, well, that was just supposed to happen. I didn't have any say in that. You don't know.
Yeah.
You lose a little bit of faith in the system when you realize that it's forcing you to do a string of... things, you're just following events rather than really being in control.
I would also say with open world games, especially with things when you have a squad of your own team, like Dragon's Dogma is a big one for me, where you actually grow a connection to them because of things that you do. And if they get hurt or something like that, something that you're not expecting that is a direct result of something you've done rather than something the game wants you to do, it sort of means more. So, if it's like Animal Crossing or Dragon's Dogma, if you've got this team of people that you influence directly instead of, I imagine something linear would make you care a lot less about them because... you sort of know what's going to happen or, I don't know, you can predict.
Yeah. That said, I agree that, when you've got those random systems where you're in control, you definitely do relate to them really strongly. That a game that hides that behind, proper storytelling can make you care just as much about
something
that was destined to happen. Let me just mention the name Dom to you.
Dom, oh God.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, back to Shelter.
Yeah. So is there any incentive apart from, your own motherly instinct that to bring all these children home to the end?
And Ray wants a prize.
Is there like a,
no,
a different outcomes for bringing in all the baby badgers?
The ending will be slightly different, yes, but it's always going to lead to the same place because it is a linear
story. Is that
story.
A happy place?
It's... Depending on how well you can do, it might be more or less bittersweet.
Okay. Oh.
But this is not a happy game. It's aiming to tug on your heartstrings and teach you something about the circle of life, although mostly what I learned is just that I'm a terrible mother.
Mm, yeah.
Mother badger.
Yeah, I get that from looking at you.
Like, we should use that as a new cuss word. Mother badger?
Yes.
Mother badger. Yeah, I like that.
Would you recommend Shelter?
Maybe. It's hard to recommend because it is something that you'll polish off in an afternoon and maybe not be as satisfied with at the end as you thought you might have been at the start. Mm. It's interesting, and it's less than $10 on Steam because it's just an indie game, and it does look gorgeous. It has this really washed-out pastel look don't see in other games where it looks kind of...
There's a lot of flat shading and stuff in it as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. But it's not something you're going to replay, and you will probably finish it in a couple of hours.
It does sound pretty unique, though. So people who are chasing something that they haven't played before, maybe good for them?
Yeah.
Yep. And how much did you pay for that?
$10.
Okay. Cool. That was Shelter for the PC. This has been Zed Games, and that brings us to the conclusion of this week's episode. As usual, thanks so much for listening. For more information on the show, head to our Facebook, Zed Games AU. Next week, Pokemon X and Y.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
What is surely to be the best episode of Zed Games ever next
Aside
week.
Aside from this one.
Yeah.
Apart from this one, of course, which cannot be beaten. the first ever live-to-air radio broadcast of a Pokemon duel.
Mm-hmm.
Most certainly.
Yes.
We're pretty sure.
Something to be excited for. Anyway, we'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening. This has been Zed Games, recorded live in Brisbane on 4ZZZ and heard nationally thanks to the Community Radio Network. For more information on the show and to join the Zed Games community, head to our website, zedgamesau.net. That's spelt Z-E-D, or send us an email at contact@zedgamesau.net. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Zed Games is produced with the assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation.